kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Today, and I hope it's going to be an encouragement. And we're going to call this teaching today Romans 8:28 tells us why. Romans 8:28 tells us why. If you are one that's pressing in with a deeper life, you are experiencing the maturing and changing and developing going on spiritually, that is, then you are going to really understand what Romans 8:28 is all about. It's often quoted. It's used many times. But there is something that is interesting about this verse, and it's almost right at the beginning. And it gives itself away to those who understand this and are experiencing this, and those that don't. And it says quite clearly, "And we know." Let's just stop there. "And we know." So the apostle, having spoken all before about going through the trials and the sufferings in which to enter into glory, and how that sonship is received through the Spirit, that is the empowerment of the Spirit. We'll look at that in a minute. He then comes to this verse here, and with all of that, we know that all things work together for good. In other words, he's clarifying in what he has said that whatever the trials, whatever the tests, whatever the delays of faith are, he says, you know for a reason why these things happen to you each day. What, with whatever you encounter, he says, you know this, because all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So this knowing is a knowing that is divinely given from God. It is revelation to you. It is understanding to you. Your trial, your day, is for the purpose that all things work together for good. No matter how negative it has looked this day, no matter maybe how much my day has been a disaster, I still know that God has used this for a greater purpose. And with sonship comes this knowing. And that is what I want to raise today. That is what I want to challenge you with today. Because I want you to know in your heart what this is saying. Because once you grasp this, and you know that this comes with the calling of sonship on your life, you're not all the while up and down, confused, bewildered. Why is this happening to me? Running always for answers from God, which we do and we have done. Instead of settling the fact that I know that what I am going through or what my day has been is working together for good. For what? According to your purpose? What you want? No, for his purpose, his glory. It is no mistake. And God wants us to get that from our heads to our hearts. Because we've got those in the house of God are all the while asking God, searching out why, running to the minister, running to the arm of the flesh, trying to find an easy way out. Do you know why? Because they've not received this by revelation. It has not gone from the head to the heart. Let's just come into all of this again, having looked at this. Let's go back to verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. I am not relying on the flesh, on my feelings, on my emotions, what I see, what I hear. No. Yes, the flesh is very operative. I still live in the flesh and I'm subject to the flesh and I am emotional. But I have determined not to walk by faith with regard to that, to live according to the flesh. Because he says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And that is why God opposes it. That is why this fight goes on in us. And the only way that this can be dealt with is the cross that we have taught for years. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I die daily that the life of Christ may live in me. That is what you settle on. And you don't argue with it and fight against it. That is how we start to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. But if you refuse to die and you keep trying to defend yourself, justify yourself, convince yourself that you are right in your actions, you are working death into yourself. And eventually it will take over. That is the warning. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So he says you have to be led. And that is the experience. What leads us? Not you. The life that is imparted to you, the life of Christ. He is the one that now comes over, that leads your life and my life. And thank God for that, because he's the only one who can overcome. He already has. He is the only one that can work this walk in the Spirit in us. And that's why it says that we worship God in spirit and in truth. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again. That's not, in other words, that's not what you received to keep you still bound under the law, which the apostle spoken of here in chapter 7, which it works nothing but fear and torment in the mind. But you received the spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The spirit of adoption sets us free from fear. And what is fear? Fear is unbelief. And very often, it's an unwillingness to yield over to the Spirit, to allow the cross to do its work. The Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God or the sons of God. So there should be a bearing of witness. If we are receiving this by the Spirit, by the anointing, the unction of the Spirit, then he says this bears witness. I might be challenged. Of course we are. But I cannot deny it. That's what we're saying. I know this is truth. There's the witness. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. So he's on about we're one with him, one with the Godhead. He's one with us. And Christ has chosen still to go through trials and tribulations seated at the right hand of the Father, because he says, I go through it with you. You're not on your own. The world hated me, it will hate you. That's what he said. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So he's looking above his trials and circumstances, his battles. And that's what the Spirit is doing and will do with you and I. He's going to get you to live above it, to move above it, to think above it. Yes, you may physically be going through it, but your vision is not bound by the world and what you see and what you hear. You are with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. Now, only the Spirit can do that, brothers and sisters. And how does he do this? Through your trials. And he has a way in which he does that, so that your trial you go through, you have a vision through that trial of what it's producing. And here it is, verse 28. I know that all things are working together in this trial. In other words, it's a bigger picture, which you've heard me bang on about for years. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Here's the bigger picture. Here is the revelation. My trials, or FGA trials, and what we are going through with Christ with us, the big picture is to release this world of its sin, its bondage, its groaning. My trials are for a greater purpose and a reason. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. What is this knowing? Here it is, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the unveiling of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Unless the church, the overcomers, are beginning in their trials, in their flesh, to begin to experience the glorious liberty, the freedom, that this no longer holds me down, fetters me down in unbelief, in depression, oppression, griping and moaning, and why, Lord? Then we will begin to see the unveiling, the deliverance. The man-child will not be fully snatched away until it learns this one. For we know that the whole creation groans and labours with birth pangs together until now. And these birth pangs are identified with the man-child in Romans 12 for deliverance. And so our development, our birthing, which is soon, is that we learn this through the trials and tribulations that we go through in which to make it into the kingdom of God. Why? Because I know that all things work together for good to those that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Are you getting now, brothers and sisters, a greater and bigger revelation of what this is about? It's not just about what I'm going through. Because that's what babies are. Those that are immature in the faith. They're just wrapped up in themselves. No. My trial or my trials that I've gone through this week. And we all have. I have. Is for a greater and bigger purpose. Because it's all part of this world being released from groaning creation. What is this release? It's being released from the curse of what sin has done. That's what this is about. This is what sonship is. This is the revelation that God has given to the church in these closing days. And I raise that question, how many understand this and see this? Few. I ask myself, what have I done to deserve such revelation and insight? It blows my mind. But I just hold on to the fact that God doesn't make a mistake. His calling and choosing from the foundation of the world is absolutely perfect in his mind and heart and thinking. Because he never makes a mistake. I think he has at times with me. But that's where I walk by faith, trusting him. The same with you. And here it is. And he says, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the intercessions, the praying, and what we do is revelation, because we do not know. This is why I constantly say, don't try and work out your day. Don't try and work out what you're going to say, who you're going to meet, or whatever it is, because it doesn't work that way. As I say so many times, our Saviour revealed to his disciples how he was empowered, how he walked, how the miracles that were done through him. He said, I do only that which the Father reveals. I know nothing otherwise. And how did he receive? Often he put into practice verse 26. The Spirit helps our weaknesses. That's why Jesus at times was found praying through the night. Because in the flesh he was weak, like you or I. But he knew where the empowerment lie, where the revelation lie. Where the understanding lies and everything else. Here it is, verse 26. Yet we're so blinded to it. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, he gives it. He prays. He intercedes. He imparts the knowledge. He imparts the faith to believe in the promises of God, and so on. Now, he who searches the hearts, verse 27, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. Here it is. We don't know our Father's mind and heart and spirit. But as he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we are called for the will of God to be done through us, through the church, in this dying world, so that, as he speaks of here, groaning creation can be released, the curse can be removed, and the church has to yield over for the will of God, and there is the fight. And only the overcomers, the sons of God, who walk by the way of the cross, have a desire and a heart for the will of God. Because most who profess Christ, I'm sorry, but they don't really have a real will for the will of God. They'll pray it, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's just lip service. And we even battle with it at times. And we know that all things work together for good. Here it is. I tell you, our Father in heaven has such a perfect plan that he's unveiling and revealing to us. And he says, for whom he foreknew, verse 29, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's why God's going to bring forth the first fruits from the harvest, which is soon to be presented on his altar. The man-child, Revelation 12. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, there he also glorified. You've got to be called for this. And he clearly says it here, verses 29 and 30. How do you know you're called? Because you keep coming back for it. You can't live without the word of God. You need that heavenly manna. And if you've sinned, you've got to do something about it. You can't bear that sin separating you from relationship with God. These are all the unctions and the callings and the proddings in your life and my life, and thank God for them. And you have to be called from the foundation of the world. And the only way you know you are called is that you will stay with it and you will endure to the end. They are the signs, you see. Our Father makes no mistake. Our calling is awesome. You cannot even begin to conceive this calling upon our lives and what we are destined for, our future. And yet we're so caught up in ourselves and our families and worried about the children and the aunts and uncles, or what the boss is saying at work, or whatever it is, and how it consumes our time and energy. And we wonder why we have bad heads and migraines, and our health isn't as good as it should be, because we're too absorbed with things that take too much of our time. Of course we have responsibility, don't get me wrong. But it's an attitude of heart and motive. That's what I'm talking about. That is the point. As the Lord says, put first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And they are. And don't try and work out how he does it. It's miraculous, but he does do it. So Looking then in Romans 8, 28, and we're calling this teaching today, Romans 28 tells us why. We're already beginning to open up why. And we've read to you from verses 12 through to 30. That's the reason why. And this is why trials and tests are so misunderstood. Because if you don't understand verse 28, or you're trying to avoid what verse 28 says, you will at any point try and get out of a trial in whatever way or form you can. And so often it's compromising, going to the arm of the flesh. You see, if we don't really get this one, and we understand this one and yield to this, this could stop us from becoming first fruits. It is that serious. You see, trials are to produce the character of Jesus Christ in us. It's not perfecting you. It's not making you any better. It's for the perfection of Christ in you and me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The fruit of the Spirit is Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's the perfections of His character, His love, His grace, His mercy, His patience, His long-suffering, and so on. The fruit is to be found in Him, not in you trying to produce it. That's works. And we've got it all wrong. And I hear a lot of teaching and talking about love and the fruit of the Spirit. But when you listen to it, you're in condemnation. And do you know why? Because it's so often delivered where you are trying to produce it and do it. And it isn't. It comes as you yield to the Spirit and don't fight Him. But just yield over and let Him do that work. He knows how to manifest Himself through you. We've already just been showing you it. The walk in the Spirit, Romans 8. You see. The nature of our trials is indeed to perfect love in us. But whose love? Not yours. The love of God, who embraces the unlovable, the sin of this world, the same as Jesus could. The love of the Father was in Him, embracing you and I, the sin of this world. Revealing His anger, His wrath against man rebelling and sinning, which He did, which Adam did. We will never fully understand the redemption that was going on at Calvary. We're going to have eternity to learn more and more about what was going on there. But we do have enough to understand. And that's why when we go through our trials, or we've sinned or fallen short, and we go over it again and again, which is like deja vu, what is that telling you? At the moment, there's a refusal to die. You are arguing. You're justifying. You're not telling God deliberately, but in your actions, you're telling Him, I don't want to die. And maybe that's what you've got to do. You've got to be absolutely frank and honest and come before Him. Lord, I don't want to die in this. I like it too much. It's too much pleasure involved. But I know it's wrong. I know this doesn't glorify You. And I know I'm battling in this. And I want Your will to be done. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Why do you think we pray that? And God says, okay, I've heard your prayer. I can see that you've come to the end and you realize it's not giving you any peace, any joy, whatever. I now will take over. And that is where you simply yield. And when he starts to use his surgical knives and those delicate instruments that he has, just like a surgeon that operates, don't stop him. Just let him do it. And he will tell you loud and clear, my grace is sufficient. And I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to take you through this trial because this is what is going to deliver you, but I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you in it. I'm going through this with you. You're not on your own. It may look as though I've left you. We know that with Jesus. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? For a second, he had gone through in his flesh where God had turned his face away from him. He hadn't up until that point. They were in complete union and fellowship and oneness. But at that point, when he became the sin bearer in his flesh, taking the punishment of our sin, God turned his eyes away. And it can seem like that with us. But my friends, it is not for long. And I'll tell you why. Because resurrection power will always take over. It has to. That is the good side, the good message of the cross. Praise his name. So that will explain why sometimes we battle and we go through the similar thing and it seems as though there's no break, no change. Nothing ever seems to happen. Have you felt that? I certainly have. It's God bringing us to the end. The cross is going to bring death soon. And it comes the moment we let go. We surrender. We raise the white flag. Then that is a sign. You have given full permission for the Spirit to do his work. And he'll do it. We have to pass the test, brothers and sisters. Just like when we go through the primary grades at school. We can't get to any higher levels until we pass those primary grades. It's exactly the same. This is why I say that coming to church, coming under the word, the anointing, is like coming to a spiritual school to learn so that we can pass those grades to go on higher with God, onto higher platitudes. Do you not want to go higher with God? I know I do. That's the hungering and thirsting for God. Because the higher you go, the more you see. And the more you begin to understand. And the greater revelation and insights that you have. That's why. No, I praise God, the sons of God, the overcomers. Revelation 12, the man-child is protected from the grip of Satan because Satan hates this. Satan knows exactly what's going on here. He knows that this work that God is doing in the body of Christ, in the woman, is soon to release groaning creation. That is the revelation of the greater works, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a conclusion. And that's why we've got to learn to submit to his yoke. And don't think it strange Let's have a few scriptures as we close with this. We know these very, very well. Let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 to 14. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. Beloved, do not think it a strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And so it goes on. Let's read verse 14. And if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But we're not to suffer according to our own sin or unbelief, as murderers, thieves, or evildoers, or busybody in other people's matters. In other words, you're not being persecuted for righteousness' sake, but because of sin in your life. And maybe you're misinterpreting that, because it's actually your father chastening you, trying to get your attention. So we need to know how the Spirit leads, you see. But we get the understanding of what it is. And so that we're not up and down through our trials and our testings that we go through, like so many Christians are. Their walk each day is affected by the trial and how they feel and what they're going through and so forth. Little wonder there's such little victory in the lives of so many believers. God is getting us to rise above all of that, because we have a greater insight and vision. And it's Romans 8:28. And finally, what did Jesus say in Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12? Matthew 5, verses 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kind of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So there's nothing new in it. We are rejected. We are cast out, we are lied and schemed about. They want to get us out of the way. And this is the fight that's going on. And this is what we're beginning to see now in life. They don't want to hear the word of God anymore. It's very difficult now for you to preach the kingdom of God, to preach the word of God, if you go out, or you're street evangelists. Police will soon come along and push you along or arrest you. Never used to be 10 years ago. And yet when you hear any other religions that are being spoken or demonstrated about, police are too afraid for that. Because there's such fear coming on the earth. Such fear now in governments, those in leadership, our police and so on. Can you see what the powers of darkness are doing? This is all to attack the word of God. That is why we pray for the word. Pray for the message. Pray that these doors will be opened, that the word will still have free course. That's why I push this as much as I do for our praying. And the church should be doing this, because the attack is coming against this word. Why? Because the devil doesn't want the sons of God coming forth to judge him with Christ, to set groaning creation free, to bring righteousness and order back on the earth. That's what we're destined for. And that is why God is shaking the heavens and the earth, Hebrews 12. And the shaking will eventually reveal the Antichrist, the deceiver. And much of the world will flock after him because they walk in darkness. We can see it all being unfolded. We're seeing it now, we're hearing it before our very eyes. All that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 24, read it again if you haven't recently. It's unfolding, we're seeing it. The same as we discern the weather. We can see when spring is coming, when summer is coming, when winter is coming. So we're seeing it spiritually. How do we see it? Because we walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Blessed are your eyes and your ears if they hear this, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. This has come by the Spirit, by your Father, who's called and predestined you from the foundation of the world. What a message this is. What a word, what a gospel. Why is it we doubt him? Why is it we still listen to the enemy and to those who don't really like us or love us? We're too quick to listen to our enemies, and sadly, many of them can be in your family. We deceive ourselves. Why? Because we're not lovers of the truth, what sets us free. But God's working with us, and he's putting these godly affections within our heart so that we can embrace this and begin to please our Heavenly Father. And that's why it says in Romans 8, we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah.
Disaster. Let him in constancy fall.